listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of a new school year, however that looks, this unprecedented and in many ways painful new school year, at the end of August, at the beginning of September, at the beginning of a new school year, it's time to go back to the basics. Are you thinking about the basics these days? You can't start a new school year without going back to the basics, reviewing where you came from, what you were doing last year, and refreshing going over your multiplication flashcards. Or the alphabet, if you're a little bit younger than that. Or maybe the writer's handbook as you get ready to start writing papers again. Or the periodic table before you get back into the laboratory. Gray's Anatomy. Or in seminary, it was the Dictionary of Theological Terms. And for us, one of the basic volumes was Dietrich Bonhoeffer's nice little book called Life Together. Pick your level and your discipline, but you can't start a new year without remembering where you came from. And this week, our lectionary texts do the same thing. They're practically synced up with the same idea. We can't start anew without remembering where we came from. It's time to go back to the basics, back to the building blocks, back to the building rocks. Molecules and cells, letters and grammar, numbers and formulas, theories and cases, and in church today, who we are and whose we are. Where have we come from? And then who is this Jesus? Our first church lesson from Isaiah today calls us, especially in times of trial, in times like these, to look to the rock from which you were hewn, the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. Siblings in Christ, siblings, we are called back to the basics this late date in August. We are called to remember that we all came from the same rock. What an image. God shaped us and molded us from a common rock, dug us up and breathed into each of us. We trace our ancestry of faith back to Abraham and Sarah, back to Adam and Eve, back to the very hands of God. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, the mighty fortress who is our God. How we can forget that we came from God. How we can run and hide and deny and evade and joke. How our memories can be so short-term, tracing our ancestry of faith back only one or two generations, back to Pennsylvania or Iowa or Sweden or Puerto Rico or Sierra Leone, but not hundreds of thousands of generations. But let's get back to the basics today. It is the living God who chiseled away at our being, who continues to chisel away at us, who dug us out of the dirt and gave us this holy life, this sacred earth, and who continues to dig us out of the quarry, out of our despair, out of our guilt, out of our brokenness and our sorrow. It is the living God who refashions, remolds, puts us back together. That is, I love to use that word, remember. It is the living God who remembers us, who breathes into us new life again, and now, today, sets us free. It is the living God who set the heavens in their places and filled the seas with creatures. We can start sounding like the psalmist when we go back to the basics and start reflecting in a way of praise and thanksgiving and awe at what God has done and how God has brought us to this point. May we be psalmists this week as we begin anew. Even if you're not getting back into the virtual classroom like so many of our children and teachers will be very soon, may we be like little psalmists singing God's praises and God's wondrous deeds with our thoughts and our actions. We have been resuscitated by the living God, brought to life again and now again. So, having been brought back, this Jesus asks us a question. I'm moving into the gospel text today. Who do people say that I am? Jesus probes his followers. Who do people say that I am? It's kind of a timeless question. People are still talking about Jesus today, saying things about who he is, writing about who he is, or who he is not, or at least who he was. Albert Schweitzer, mid-20th century theologian and medical doctor and philosopher and musician, he wrote a book about the historical Jesus and talked about how it's interesting when people talk about Jesus. He gave this image, it's like they peer down into a deep well of history and see their own reflection down at the bottom. And he was getting at how we really kind of make Jesus look like our best selves, like what we really believe. Pick your context and your camp, and off you can go with things to say about Jesus. I think many, many people in our post-Christendom, post-modern American culture today believe that Jesus was just a prophet, for example. Like the disciples said, just a radical activist who was executed for the advocating love of the poor and the outcast, who was executed for violating Jewish laws and undermining Roman authorities. He was an enemy of the state. They're compelling stories, but let's be honest, he lived a long time ago, many would say, and is pretty much irrelevant today, other than being yet another inspirational role model who we could never fully imitate. That's who Jesus is. That's who people say that Jesus is. I had an experience in college. My friend was taking a world religions class, and I was interested in going with him on one of his field trips because this place sounded really fascinating to me. It was called the Temple of Self-Realization, and it was in Malibu, California. And so we were, college was only about an hour and a half from Malibu, and so we got in the car and we went over there, and he was working on his paper, but I just wanted to tag along and see this place. It sounded really interesting, and sure enough, beautiful landscape, beautiful modern style kind of worship, kind of sanctuary building with rows. I remember there were kind of pews like what we have in our churches. But then up at the front where we would have an altar and a cross and a pulpit and a Bible, there was just this shelf of pictures of all the great figures, all the great religious figures, the Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, Dalai Lama, Lao Tzu, just a whole line of them. And they're just all on the same level. They're just kind of all equidistant and at the same height. It's kind of like, hey, pick your inspirational role model. Others think Jesus was just a super nice pastor who wants to be your best friend in spirit. Not so sure about how radical his activism was. That's not really what I'm interested in. The point of Jesus, some would say, is to have a personal relationship with you. I just want to be with you. I had some friends that used to call that Jesus is my boyfriend theology. If you can replace the word boyfriend for Jesus in your songs and your prayers, it starts to sound like a love song You might be in danger of a Jesus is my boyfriend theology. I just want you to be with me, Jesus. I just want you all to myself. You're my best friend, Jesus. Don't leave me, Jesus. Let me be close to you. Where it's only about a personal relationship. Meanwhile, I had a professor in seminary who really disliked the song, the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because he thought that had misled generations of Christians to shortchange the church's true confession about who Jesus is. Peter didn't confess Jesus as his friend. Who do people say that I am? You're my best friend, Jesus. No, Peter didn't confess Jesus as his friend. And of course Jesus is a friend. I don't mean to undermine or make light of that relationship, actually. But as disciples of the one who came to earth to take on our flesh, who ventured through the pain-filled valleys of our existence, offering both life-giving healing and life-changing challenges, who suffered death, not just for his friends, but for this whole world, and then rose from the dead, to have the last word over death and evil itself, we must stand and confess a whole lot more than he's just my special friend or just an inspirational figure, radical figure in history. Amen? Friends in Christ, we join with Peter and confess Jesus as the Messiah, that is the anointed one, the one sent from God. And yet, very God, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, we say in our old Nicene Creed. It helps give us words for what is actually beyond words. Sisters and brothers in Christ, we join with Peter and go back to the basics today as we too confess Jesus, the rock of our salvation. Yes, friend. And yes, radical activist for the poor and the outcast. Yes, son of the living God. Yes, God in the flesh before our eyes in this word, in this holy communion, in these holy waters of baptism, in you and in me. Yes, Jesus lived long ago. And yes, Jesus lives now, the Messiah. Our confession is great. Like Peter's. And in making this bold confession that we do, do you know what we become? Like Peter? A chip off the old block. A chip off the old block is what we are, people of God. A chip off the old rock. A chip off the old rock that is God. We are a chip off of God. Broken and shared for the sake of the world. That's what we are. Fractured and forgiven, but sent out for many. Siblings in Christ, lest we forget who we are and from whence we come, let's go back to the basics. We are the church. We are the body of Christ, and we are about to chip off into this world once again. That is not a bad thing. It's difficult, but it is good. Peter's confession becomes our confession today again. And so Jesus is beyond just a friend. Jesus is beyond just relevant or inspirational. Jesus is necessary, for without him, for we who are his flock, his disciples, his followers, we have no life. Without him, we have no life. Our life is in Christ. That's lesson number one. Back to the basics. Back to the rock from which we were hewn. Except this is more than just lesson number one. This is a gift. And this gift is ours for free. There is nothing you can do to earn being hewn out of the rock of our salvation. There is nothing you can do to earn this or precede it, for that matter. All we can do is accept it. All we can do is put our hand out and receive it. God's grace, life in Christ poured out for you. Let's start with that. So now what? God's done the work, given the gift. Now we just get to be church, as I've said before. Now we just get to do church. And Paul's letter to the Romans speaks to this and gives us further instruction. Present your bodies, Paul says, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In other words, don't be chiseled, don't be molded into the ways of this world, but continue to be chiseled by God. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God. Is it God's will that children go hungry or get separated from loved ones? Or is God chiseling away at us when we see that? Is it God's will that refugees be rejected? That species go extinct and air polluted? That communities suffer with illness and isolation? That wars drag on? Is that God's will, or is God chiseling away, chipping away at us when we see that? Is it God's will that you continue to live in fear, burdened by anger or guilt or bitterness or sorrow or resentment? Or is God chiseling away at us, molding us, fashioning us to be a chip off the old block that is God? Friends in Christ, back to the basics. We are the church, and God is still chiseling, still working, still calling us, molding us, tapping away at us and at this world, sculpting a way for peace, the peace that passes all human understanding. Praise be to Jesus, the Messiah. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.